Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station. Jones and Keith, live from Gillette on WEEI, is presented by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and Cape Cod depend on. McFarlaneEnergy.com. This is Jones and Keith.
With the news that Stephon Diggs has been cleared to practice, presumably passing a physical, what does it mean for you that he's ready for the start of camp just 8 months after ACL surgery?
Well, I know that everybody heals differently, especially from that type of injury, but I would say that I think it's just a testament to how hard he worked. You know, Marcus Epps also went through that surgery and worked extremely hard, and he's been out there the last couple days with us as well. So appreciate their efforts to get back out there and get ready, and then we'll continue to monitor as we work through training camp.
Do you still have him on any sort of like pitch count or anything, or is he full go?
When he practices, when he took the rep, it was full go. I don't see any limitations right now. Is he going to take every single rep of every single period? No, and I don't think any player will. You know, I think we're off to a good start and encouraged by what we saw here in the last couple of days.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for training camp 2025, Keefe?
Of course I am. It's the nicest day of the year. That's not hyperbole. It is actually the nicest day of the year. It's not 110 degrees. Sun is shining. A little bit of clouds. Just a little bit. Just a couple in the air. But it is a bright, sunshiny day. The field looks great, and I'm excited for training camp. It is day one of Patriots training camp.
I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't notice the clouds until you pointed them out.
There's a couple, but it's a
bit of a downer. That's a bit of a downer.
Not a downer. You need a little bit of cloud coverage. Otherwise, I just burn to a crisp. So this actually is nice. Just they'll cross over through the sun here and there. But, no, it's good. Good buzz in the air. We saw Steph Diggs run onto the field. He looks like $1 million. So, yeah, I'm excited for the day.
So we are here live from Gillette Stadium on WEEI, presented by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlaneEnergy.com. Jones and Keefe here. Same show. You know the number, 617-779-7937. That's also your text line. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Always a healthy chat on Twitch and watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You mentioned Diggs. You heard Vrabel right off the top. That was Vrabel from yesterday. He spoke again this morning, as did Robert Kraft. We saw Steph Diggs jog out onto the field. I don't want to say sprint, but jog out onto the field.
Yeah, good clip.
Look good.
Yeah.
No non-contact jersey or anything. No sleeve on his knee. He got a good pop from the crowd.
He did.
So already an update there from Steph Diggs. He's playing catch right now out on the field. We got eyes on.
Yeah, so the setup is they have two fields, two like full fields. They have like a side field down sort of at the end of one of the fields, which is usually where they got like the hog mollies, usually where they have like the big,
sure,
big fellows down,
yeah,
there.
Big uglies.
Yeah, big uglies. They're bumping into each other. So you run out from the stairs here, and then Steph Diggs ran across one field into another where the stands are set up. And, yeah, got a good ovation. People are feeling it. He's feeling it. So, good start to the day. Practice officially starts in, I think, 7 minutes, but everybody's already out on the field kind of just tossing a ball around, warming up.
Yeah, so once they get going, we're going to be very distracted.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So let's
more so than normal.
Yeah, so let's get our focus takes out of the way right now. I don't see your binoculars, by the way. Did you bring your binoculars?
No, I'm just going to kind of squint. I don't know if it's better to go eyes wide open or to like to squint. I can't tell. I don't know which is better.
I always I have the unintentional crazy eyes, so I kind of always go kind of you know,
big
peepers.
Yeah.
But okay, we'll do our best to pass along what we're allowed to pass along here from day one at Patriots training camp in Foxborough. What do you want to see today, Keith, based on your rankings, your binoc rankings yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
I know Diggs was high on the list. We've already seen some of that. What do you want to see today?
Diggs is the highest one on the list. Now, so they're going helmet and shoulder pads today. Obviously, they don't show up and just start smashing into each other. But you just want to see how much he's doing. Mike Vrabel talked about it yesterday. He said Diggs has no limitations. He's not going to do everything, but he followed that up with saying, nobody's going to do everything. Nobody's going to be in every drill, right? You have 91 guys on the team, as he pointed out yesterday. So you got to sort of mix and match and do different things. But just how involved is Steph Diggs, and then how do he and Drake May look together? Even, you know, even if it's just the stuff that's on air, and then the stuff, then you start to work in. We'll see how much they do against the defense and things like that. We saw him get just a little bit of run in OTAs. It wasn't team stuff, but it was something like the individual stuff.
Yep.
So how much is he ready to go day one? It's the obvious answer, but to me, it's the one I'm most interested in.
So we see Drake May on one field. He's taking snaps right now. Diggs kind of walking around. He's been playing catch with Javon Baker, among other players. But, yeah, I'm just curious to see little stuff too, Keith, beyond just physically how he looks. And that's hard to really do any big sweeping takeaways. Is he first up in drills?
Yeah.
Is he doing team stuff? Like that sort of stuff, minor things, are things that I'd like to keep an eye on. It's simplistic, maybe overly simplistic. You just kind of want to see May out there as well, not just, again, how he looks, how he's throwing. We'll get all the training camp numbers, which I read into.
Sure. That's what we got.
But, you know, for the first time in a long time, I haven't been at a training camp practice in years. So for the first time in a long time, we can kind of evaluate with our eyes beyond just the numbers that get tweeted out. But, again, like, how's he leading? Are guys following him? One of the few things that Vrabel said this morning, he spoke yesterday at length. He talked again earlier today before day one of training camp. And one of the few things he said is Drake May did organize all those off-season workouts. He said 95%
of it was on May. Those guys down there, where they were going to stay, where they were going to practice.
Lodging,
it's great.
Flights, where they were going to do, like, the logistics. And I think that sort of stuff in year two, it's your team.
Yeah.
And
so
I want to see a lot of that today. Is he leading? Is he taking charge? Is he gathering the team? Stuff like that, which we can read into from our view here above the practice.
Because remember, last year at this time, it was Jacoby Brissett was the starting quarterback. And every day you'd be like, is Drake getting closer? And they're like, oh, yeah.
It seems like a long time ago.
It really does. That was just 1 year ago. And we would you'd hear the Gerard Mayo interviews, which were all comical in their own sense. And by the end of it, he's like, yeah, he actually outplayed Jacoby, but we're going to go with Jacoby. And you're like, wait, what? So it was up in the air. It didn't happen until whatever it was, week five, that he got the switch. But now this year, completely different story. Drake May knows the entire offseason he is the guy. And I think the team kind of responds to that. And that's obviously a good sign. But I think going back to the receiver room for a minute, like, there's an opportunity for a lot of those guys to sort of emerge as Drake May's kind of favorite target, right? Like, I don't know if he has, going into this year, somebody you would say, oh, that's his favorite target. Like, everybody sort of is starting from scratch. Even the guys that were on the team with him last year, I wouldn't say, like, Pop Douglas or Kayshon Booty have, like, a huge leg up on a Kyle Williams or certainly a Steph Diggs.
No, one of the guys who showed a little chemistry, I thought, with May last year was Booty. But, yeah, I wouldn't say it's
but, like, I think that was
more target.
Yeah, that was more of a he's out there. He actually is catching the ball, unlike some of the others. But, no, I think they're all kind of starting over a little bit.
So we talked to Tommy Curran yesterday, Tommy Tuesday, as we do every week here on Jones and Keith. If you missed any of it, use the Rewind feature. You can go back and seek it out from yesterday's show on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. He ranked all the players, and I want to get the wording right because I know Curran is a bit of a nitpick.
By Binox? Did he do a Binox?
He did not do the Binox scale. I think that's patented for this show.
Okay.
The Patriots with most at stake.
Yes.
He has Diggs number 6 on that list. I know we're going to be watching him closely. He's got Will Campbell, Josh McDaniels 5-4, Robert Kraft 3, Vrabel 2, Drake May 1. Do you agree he has the most at stake entering training camp?
Drake May?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. He was the third overall pick in the draft. You saw the guy that was drafted one spot ahead of you have an unbelievable rookie year, make the NFC title game, and is now viewed already as a top five quarterback. And yet that was a debate going into the draft. Who should go to, right? Like, back and forth, those guys were ranked pretty evenly by a lot of people. And the expectation here is that they're going to be really improved. Right, like, the expectation, I heard the morning show talking a lot about this, about no matter what side of the over-under you are on, the fact that the over-under for team wins is 8.5 after they won 4 games last year, really 3 games, is kind of telling.
And they're favored in 11, at least that last check.
They're favored in 11,
and the over-under's 8.5.
Yeah. So if you fall way short of that, like, I think there's going to be a lot of kind of finger-pointing at you and questions then going into year 3 about if you're even the guy. So last year, I was okay giving him a bunch of excuses. I know some fans are like, it's not fair, he's a quarterback. But I thought with everything around him, I thought that was fair. This year, even though they're not loaded with all pros, as we went over all the talent breakdowns and everything else, it's still a much, much, much better team. And yet, if they fall way short, of course you're going to look at the quarterback. Quarterback's going to get the blame, going to get the credit either way. So yeah, I think that's fair. He has the most at stake. Most pressure.
I think so too. The way Curran wrote it, he said, and you really said a lot of this. He's the third overall pick, smart, tough, athletic as hell. Let's see some results. And I think that's key, you know, and it's going to be a long time until we can actually see that come game time, come regular season, even preseason. It's going to be a while until we can see it, but we're going to want to see some results out of Drake May. So heard the horn go off here. I saw Vrabel was gathering the team there for a moment. They're starting up as training camp officially underway.
Right, good handoff there.
Here in Foxborough. You like that?
Drake May had a nice, crisp handoff.
Okay,
ball
nice.
Did not hit the ground.
That's good.
Good start for the offense.
Yeah.
Good running play on air.
You don't want to see the ball on the ground first play at training camp. That's true, Keith.
I feel like we did last year.
Yeah.
No, I could be wrong. But I feel like there was definitely times where some of the talk over the last few years, if you remember it, we could dig in through these different archives. But there were a lot of wild quotes going back a couple of years when it was Matt Patricia's offense to even last year. Some of the like veteran beat reporters had lines like, this is the worst offensive training camp I've ever seen. That's what they were saying.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's an incredibly low bar to sort of walk over. But that's what you're hoping to see. You know, Josh McDaniel, a lot of talk on Vrabel, as there should be. But the last time the offense looked any kind of coherent, probably was when McDaniels was here in 2021. Since then, for different reasons, it's been a disaster. So that's another thing. I really don't expect it to be a top 10 offense, but considering where they were a year ago, it needs to take a huge step forward.
Okay, still no turnovers out there. That's good. Handoff's looking good.
Good handoff. Quarterback center exchange.
Nobody's
is
twisting
good.
Any knees or anything like that. Yep. That's good. Curran also said number two on his list is Mike Vrabel. He said 8 wins or bust for Vrabel.
Okay.
Or the heat's going to be turned up. Is that fair?
I think he's
talking not from like Robert Kraft's standpoint. I think he's talking from like a fan base media standpoint. If they don't win 8 games this year, they win 6 or 7, then the heat gets ratcheted up on Vrabel a little bit. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Kraft will fire him, but we'll start to look at it and go, well, what exactly are you doing?
No, he won't be one and done. But again, you know, what does it look like, right? Like, is it 7 wins and you have all these dumb decisions and all these dumb things that really stand out? And you're like, oh, you should have won that game, or like, what were you doing in this specific one? But yeah, I think, you know, Belichick won 4 games, Mayo won 4 games, and then so if you step in and you're also at 4 games, for example, like if it's that bad,
then
you definitely would turn the pressure up on him. But no, I think he goes in with more of a benefit of a doubt because he has that track record to fall back on. Like when things were going poorly for Mayo, it was like, what? Like, why did they even hire this guy? I think Vrabel will have a longer leash, but one thing he has working against him is the fan base has seen multiple losing seasons.
Yep.
Right? This is year one for him, year one for his coaching staff, year one for a lot of the guys in the front office that he brought with him. But like, we're sitting here being like, you gotta get back to the playoffs, or you gotta be competitive in the final month of the season. So I think he's the head coach, right? So like the quarterback head coach, that makes the most sense. Like there's going to be eyes on those guys all year.
What we've talked a lot of like Red Sox vibes, which are low right now.
What the hell happened to these guys?
Based on the way they played last night, the last couple of games, dropped 4 out of 5 out of the All-Star break. Vibes are real high going in.
The break. I think the break kind of threw them off.
Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah,
all right,
too long a layoff.
Good, that makes
me feel
better.
If they had just kept playing during the break, they might be at 15 wins.
Yeah, they should have just showed up and just like gone to a park somewhere and just kind of kept it going.
That's on Cora.
That's on Cora, exactly. Vasquez would have had him do it.
Cora's at Coldplay. He should have been out there on the field getting these guys into shape.
So the Red Sox vibes have lowered. What do you think the general vibes are around the team? Like, they seem
here high.
Well, just expectations seem high. The fan base seems engaged. That's hard to really know.
Yeah.
But the fan base seems engaged, excited. Like, I would say the general conversation around the team seems positive. You guys can correct us if we're wrong on it. 617-779-7937. But do you think that's a fair characterization compared to last year and the year before?
I definitely do. I think, you know, you got to kind of separate the 20-year run where for 20 straight years, this time they were like Super Bowl favorites or one of the Super Bowl favorites. So they're not that. So like that is sort of changed. But then also for the last couple of years, they were legitimately one of the worst teams in all of football. So it's somehow like in the middle of that. Like I think the fan base is like optimistic about the season and where it can be, but they're also realistic. Nobody's like, look out, Buffalo Bills. Here come the New England Patriots. But it's, you know, not you're not going to be in last place in the division. And
they better not.
I don't think so. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, I've been wrong a time or two with some of these predictions. But, like, I think they're going to be playing games that matter in December. And, like, whatever the season, like, the early January, I think that game's going to count. And unlike the last couple of years where you're like, eh, play whoever you want. And we're updating Tankathon to see where they rank tiebreaker-wise on what draft pick. I don't think we're going to be talking about draft picks this year. At least that's the hope.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they aren't as well. You know, maybe we're like, this team could use a wide receiver in the first
round. Oh, we'll talk about the draft.
They could use a tackle because Will Campbell ain't it. But, I don't think we're going to be talking about, oh, they better tank to get a top five pick. I don't think we'll be doing that either.
Yeah, I think it'll be more, you know, they need the Steelers and the Broncos to lose this week,
right,
and then maybe they can move up to actually get a wild card.
Right.
I think that's more realistic. And that's why I think it's good. Like, you're just going to see, hopefully, a real football team, because the last couple of years, you could say, wow, it was two seasons. It felt like 20, because it was just watching a team that bad takes a lot out of you as a fan.
Okay, so what do you want to see at training camp today or hear about if you're not in attendance? You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Patriots starting up officially on their approach to the 2025 season. Jones and Keefe will be here for all of it throughout training camp. Your expectations for the team this year, what's a reasonable win total, and who do you think is facing some pressure and has a lot at stake in this training camp? Curran kind of took you through that. We reacted to it on Drake May and Mike Vrabel. You can suggest other ones as well. Again, it's 617-779-7937. It's still a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll be doing Would You Rathers coming up a little over an hour from now at 11:30. Grab bag, clip du jour, all that good stuff on the show today. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, are the Patriots already alienating their only elite player? We'll do that next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Shaw's and Stahl Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. Richard Fitz gave up 4 runs on 6 hits in 3 1/3 innings in last night's Red Sox 4-1 loss to the Phillies in Philadelphia. Boston's lone run came off of a Rob Refsnyder home run in the 4th inning. Sox look to avoid the sweep tonight in the series finale. First pitch is at 7:05. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Stahl Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Lucas Giolito gets a start for the Sox against the Phillies' Jesus Lozado. Don't forget to tune into the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arkand at 6:05. And Patriots training camp is officially underway here at Gillette Stadium. Want to win free groceries and epic sports and concert prizes? Enter the Shaw's and Stahl Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Just spend $50 or more and check your receipt for the entry code. It's that easy. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
So, I mean, expectations in the National Football League are high. They should be. That's what our job is. So everybody's got a different situation, you know, things that they're trying to get done, things that they want to accomplish. You know, my job and my biggest job and one of my most important jobs is try to get the individual to be able to maximize their earning potential within what we're trying to do as a football team, right? Those two things can coincide. And we all understand, like, we're in this business, we're in professional sports outside of winning, to provide for our family. Like, that's what this is. It's professional sports. And so with that is you have this individual element and you have this team, and they have to coexist. And you have to allow players to understand that, show them where they're doing things to help themselves, but maybe not the team, and then show them examples where they're helping themselves as well as the team, and understanding how, you know, those pieces can fit together.
On Christian Gonzalez, we discussed that on Jones and Keefe. I want to circle back to it in a moment. We're live day one Patriots training camp high above the fields at Gillette Stadium. Good view, though.
Oh, yeah.
Good deep stretch going on right now,
Keith. You got to get a good stretch in there. Yeah, they're doing some active stretch.
Yep.
They were doing some walking and grabbing their legs. Now they're just getting a nice little stand up straight, touch the toes, touch the ground.
Yeah, get the hammies.
Yeah.
Get the glutes.
That's real good.
Yeah. Maybe some
calves. Then you're ready to go. Then you warmed them up. You stretched them out.
You don't want to pull nothing.
No.
No.
God, no. Not on the first day of camp.
Now, we do have an update on attendance here.
Okay.
Let me start with the good.
Was this from you? You were going through the roster?
Yeah, this is me. I poured over this with a fine-tooth comb. I went through all 91
good
players on the roster.
Yep.
They have a
sick brag,
thank you.
Bro.
Thank
they
you.
Have the international?
Yes, they have an international pathway player, whatever it's called.
Okay.
So I went through all 91.
Good.
You got some double numbers, some blue and white. Blue's the defense, white's the offense. Yeah. So I went through and saw the whole thing. Carlton Davis here, out there.
That's what he said. That's what Vrabel said yesterday, off the NFI or just here?
Well, out there.
Yeah.
Jelani Tavai here, out there. These are two that Vrabel told
us yesterday. Fan favorite, Jelani Tavai.
One he did not tell us about, Keith, and the only absence outside of guys who are on PUP like Austin Hooper and Vidarian Lowe or the NFI like something called Josh Minkins.
Mink.
Not familiar.
Here's the Mink Man.
I'm not familiar with the Mink Man.
All right.
But maybe I should be. The only absence today, Jalen Polk.
You know what? Even if he was out there, I was going to have a tough time, I feel like. So this can't hurt him.
No, but like, do you wonder if he's just cut?
No, I don't think he's cut yet. There's probably something that we're going to hear about that he's not out there for. I thought he'd be given a chance. He was horrible last year. There's no way around it. Mike Vrabel didn't draft him, so there's no allegiance there. Elliot Wolf, though, still on the staff. Elliot Wolf did bring him in, and he was a second-round pick. Those guys, as you know, get way more chances than, you know, if the roles were reversed and he was a fourth or a sixth-round, like a fourth-round pick like Baker or what was Booty, a sixth-round pick, something
yeah,
like that.
Right, yeah.
Then, I mean, I think he would probably be gone soon. They don't have to make cuts today, I think he'd be one of the first guys cut. Second-round pick, I don't know. He probably has a chance to at least hang around, make it to the last cut. But he would need to be one of those guys that comes out here and has a good camp.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he needs it. He is fighting for his job.
At bare minimum, poor start, I would say. if nothing else.
No drop passes today, though.
Well, that's,
you're not there.
That's a good point. No negative plays.
No negative plays.
But he's not even out there. He is the lone absence from day one
yeah,
of
start.
Patriots training camp.
Tough start.
So not ideal. It's Jones and Keefe live from Gillette Stadium, represented by McFarland Energy. We played that clip coming back from Vrabel yesterday. I gotta be honest, I haven't seen anybody else making a big deal of this. So
no,
maybe
just us.
Maybe I'm reading into it too much. It's very possible.
No, because we went back and we even got the transcript. Because yesterday we talked about this, and he was asked about Christian Gonzalez, right?
Yeah.
And sort of like, you know, break it through this year. Because I think it was sort of like, all right, Drake May, like Christian Gonzalez. And then it was not about the contract. It was
not
about making money. And he offered that up. And you're like, all right, so is this on top of his mind? Is it on top of Gonzo's mind? Like, what is this about? We know that Sauce Gardner just signed a massive, massive contract extension with the Jets. It's inevitable that Gonzalez, I feel like next year, is going to be in discussions for that. Will the team do it? Will he want to sign early? All that stuff. But for Mike Vrabel to just sort of offer it up, I found it strange.
So I'm just wondering, and again, it's early. Vrabel offered it up. I just double-checked the question. It was, I think it was Andrew Callahan. He was asking about Drake May and the expectations. He goes, flip it around to the other side of the ball. Do you view Christian Gonzalez through the same lens? And out of nowhere, Vrabel's talking about maximizing your earning potential.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's
it's like, it's an individual game and a team game.
What was this?
Like, what?
It's a weird answer. And I wouldn't say Christian Gonzalez is their most important player. Like, that to me is May.
He's their best.
I might even have Diggs higher on the list. But, right, the overall takeaway from all these various lists that we've gone through over the last 2 weeks, which I know people got tired of, but we were going through list after list after list. Jeremy Fowler talking to scouts and executives and coaches, the CBS top 25, under 25. The Patriots have one elite player. They have one impact, high-end, you know, great player, if you will. That's all they have right now. Maybe that'll look different at the end of the year. That's what they have. And Vrabel, unprompted, is like, yeah, we got to get guys to worry about their earning potential, but also buy into the team. And it just has me wondering, this is not a statement of fact, but it just has me wondering where that comment came from. And if you have one elite guy, I'd prefer you don't alienate the guy the second you're starting up training camp.
Do you also feel like an NFL head coach's biggest job is to get an individual player to maximize their earning potential? I feel like that's an odd thing to say.
Seems like a very strange thing to bring up out of nowhere.
It also feels
unless
like,
you're asked about someone's earning potential, that's a weird thing to bring up.
I feel like that's a college coach answer.
Yeah.
Like a college coach.
Right.
Like
good point.
That's a great recruiting tool. You know, hey, you come here, we can get you to the next level and make you a lot of money.
Well, maybe now that you say it, I mean, I wonder, is it tied somehow to Well, you asked Curran about this yesterday. Curran was honest, and he's like, I don't really know if they're going to have Gonzo trail receivers around the field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he said his best guess was Gonzo's going to get a side, Carlton Davis is going to get a side. They're two big physical corners. That's probably the way it'll go. I mean, maybe Gonzalez balks at that, like a guy who trails and a guy who follows receivers around and a number one.
But like,
maybe he feels like that hurts his high end earning potential.
I guess, but there's plenty of examples of the other way where you could say
Richard Sherman didn't move.
But he dominated one side of the field. And yeah, you'd have the occasional naysayer or somebody that did run around, maybe like a Deion Sanders or something, and they'd be like, "Wow, Richard Sherman only plays one side." Did that affect Richard Sherman's earning potential? I feel like he did pretty well. And he was always regarded as one of the best corners. So I just feel like it does, and we're kind of, you know, connecting dots there, but it feels like they probably had some sort of conversation about how he was going to be used. I can't imagine Gonzalez said much back to him.
How would you use him?
How would I use him? I'd put him on the best guy.
Me too.
I'd put him on the best guy every week and be like, you're shutting down this guy.
Now, look, I mean, they have a much better second corner this year.
Yeah, that's true.
In Carlton Davis, but I'm with you. I 100%, and he's right down here. We're looking at him right now. I would 100% have him trail around. That's such an advantage.
Oh, my God.
That's such an advantage to have him trail around the best guy. And I'm not saying you do it 100% of the time. Maybe sometime he sticks on one side of the field. You keep the offense on their toes, the quarterback on their toes. But 100%, Keith, I'm with you. That's what I would do. And I would have an issue with that if I'm a Patriots fan, a media member covering the team. And I'd imagine if I'm Christian Gonzalez, I'd have an issue with that as well. So that's something to watch. 617-779-7937. Let's get to some phone calls here. Day one, Patriots training camp. Jones and Keefe live in Foxborough. A lot of you have questions. A lot of you have thoughts on this team. You can weigh in all day long. Let's start it off with Bill in Exeter. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Jens. How we doing?
Doing great.
So a lot of people, I mean, it's his second year. So he's a second-year quarterback. A lot of people have a lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts about how he's going to do. But my question for you guys is the end of the year, not wins, because I'm not a quarterback wins man, what do you think Drake May looks like in terms of numbers and just overall feel, the command of the offense?
All right, so I feel like they are kind of in lockstep. You know, I feel like if he has a good year and if the numbers are good, hard to do that and not win a lot of games. But whatever, for the sake of this argument, let's just say, I mean, we were looking at the over-unders and as a place to start, it was like 19.5 touchdowns, 3,250 yards passing. I feel like
in a vacuum, those are low to me.
I feel like he's going to be over both.
If they win 10 games, I won't care.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're telling me those are the numbers and that's what we were reading from DraftKings, those to me are low.
I would say, yeah, command of the offense definitely has to be there. I think 2-1 touchdown to pick is realistic. You'd like it even better in modern NFL. But if he's 20 touchdowns, 10 picks, he can't do that. 22 touchdowns, 11 picks, somewhere in there. Like, I think that'd be pretty good. And then also with him just playing all 17 games. Like, that's a good place to start after getting banged up in a couple of games last year.
That's a major one. And it correlates to what I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
Do you want him to run?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's one of the things that he does well. I think a lot of quarterbacks around the league do run. I mean, the two – you could argue Mahomes is the best, put Mahomes to the side, right? But the two best seasons last year were Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Those guys run. They're smart about how they run.
They both run. They have designed runs, but they'll also take off and scramble, which is really what Mahomes does.
Right, and those two guys could run more.
Yeah.
But I think they also are great passers, and they know that they got to try to, you know, they're looking at longevity too. But there's a lot of quarterbacks around the league that can use their legs. Patriots, certainly with, you know, Mac Jones and Jacoby Brissett, didn't have those guys. So now you do. That is one of the things that's going to make him, if he ends up being a top 10 quarterback, which is what we're all hoping for, I think you're going to look back at the end of the year and be like, oh, he had 600 yards rushing and 5 rushing touchdowns or whatever. Like, yeah, I think that's going to have to be a part of it.
Yeah, I want to see design runs. And, you know, Josh McDaniels didn't do a lot of that with Mac Jones when he was here, obviously.
Don't blame him.
With Cam, they did a ton of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, they did. I mean, maybe too much.
And, you know, I thought Josh Allen coming out, his comp was Cam, and now Drake May is being comp to Josh Allen. And I'm talking like MVP, not Patriots Cam Newton, but MVP-level Carolina Panthers Cam Newton. I thought that was a good comp for Josh Allen when he came out. I don't think it's a terrible comp for Drake May as a runner, as a big physical runner. I want to see design runs. I hope they do it, but that does potentially put him in harm's way. Our pal JP is in North Providence. What's up, JP?
Jones, Keith. Jones, real quick, happy anniversary. Oh, thank 10 you. 10 years. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Was, 10 year, quick, 10 years and a few quick, days, quick. And it doesn't even feel like a few extra days.
Wow. Pretty great.
Yeah.
What was the secret? TB12 water, pliability? You have to tell us later on what did it. And my main question, serious question.
Okay.
Is it C-Rex or is it Godzilla? Does it look like they're going to put a lot of pressure on him? I know it's day one, but can you see anything already? Does he look like a boy among men? Does he look like a man among men? And are they putting pressure on him?
Okay, so I got eyes on him right now. He's asking about Will Campbell.
Yeah, Haas is out at the other end of the field, so with my eyesight, as you know, kind of helpless. But I know the big fellows are down there.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to tell you, right, just why. I mean, they're mostly stretching and going through, like, individual drills right now. We haven't seen any.
Yeah, it's not full padded practice. It's not a full go hitting.
No.
So it's tough with the offensive line.
And, yeah, when do you start seeing, like, one-on-ones, D-linemen and offensive linemen? I imagine we can read into that more. But, no, right now I just see him with his short little arms on his hip. Is all I see out there. But his arms do reach his hips. I think that's positive.
Hell yeah, that's a great sign.
So I think that's good. Yeah, what were we going with? We were going with...
Well, Godzilla is a good one if you have to take him the guard. But I feel like...
What was the other one? C-Rex?
C-Rex.
Because of Campbell. Got it. Okay.
Tyrannosaurus Rex is famously of short arms.
I couldn't remember where C-Rex came from.
Yeah.
It's because of Campbell.
Yeah,
we're not worried about him going to center.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I hope not.
I couldn't remember where that came from.
No, they got a good center battle already.
Yeah, I'd say he looks more like C-Rex than like Godzilla right now.
But I feel like this wasn't the question, but I would say he would have to be an absolute disaster
for us to notice him.
No.
Oh, to
move
the guard.
Him off of left tackle.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this yesterday.
I think it needs to be atrocious because they don't have anybody else.
Max Crosby, Chop Robinson.
It might look
TJ Watt, it might not look great to start.
But at least then he made it through camp and preseason as the left tackle.
Well, that's a good point.
We're not there yet. Yeah, we're not to week one just yet.
You guys can discuss 617-779-7937. We got our eyes on everything. I don't know how good Keith's eyesight is, especially without binoculars.
No, they're getting a workout.
But we're looking at everything here day one at Patriots training camp. We'll gaze elsewhere. There is a real holdout going on in the NFL. Is the Terry McLaurin dream still alive for the Patriots? Let's get to that next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original. Now.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
First, I think, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations. And we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
Hey, we got a good thing. Don't know if I'ma see you again. But is that a good thing? Cause girl, I can't be your man. No man, I know what's on your brain. You probably hope it never would end. Like, is it the real thing? Or is it just a one night stand? Well then, let me see you get high and go.
Jones and Keith, WEEI. We're live from Patriots training camp here in Foxborough, high above the fields at Gillette Stadium. You're watching Diggs close here, Keith. They're doing this drill.
Like a hawk.
We've seen this on social media before. They, like, toss out
a medicine ball.
That's what it is?
I mean, I guess it's to sort of, like,
looks bouncy
get off a
medicine
jam.
Ball, but yeah.
Yeah, but I bet there's some weight to it, so you sort of have to, like, push off the cornerback and, you know, get to where you want to go.
And so Diggs was first up going to their, left? Now they're going the opposite direction, so they're going to cut to their right.
Yep, he's in the front of the line again.
So we'll see this coming up. I do think that's important. Just Diggs should be out there leading through drills. These receivers, they're all effectively the same at the end of the day, minus Diggs. He's the only accomplished one.
Right.
All the other guys feel like they're all threes and fours and no real number two wide receiver. This guy's been a bona fide number one. So show him how it's done.
Yep. You know what I really want to see, too?
I mean, he does look good cutting.
Yeah.
You know, like quick
tootsies in bounds there on that one.
Quick out of breaks, feet in bounds. Yeah.
But specifically, you asked me earlier, like, what what I'm looking for. And I think, like most fans, it's obviously Steph Diggs, his health, how he looks in different drills, how many of the drills he's doing, et cetera, et cetera. But I think specifically, and I don't know if they'll do one-on-ones today, but if you get Diggs versus Christian Gonzalez,
yep,
that's one where I guarantee you the other, like, 80 guys on the team are, like, not getting water, or they're not, like, they're kind of looking at that one. Because that's the one real marquee matchup I think that you have, and that, you know, no shot at, you know, the D line or the O line or anything like that, but you have one of the best corners in the league. You have a receiver who's obviously on the downtrend of his career, but at one point was one of the best receivers. Other camps probably have more of this. Other camps, you know, like Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson. You're like, oh, I want to see what's going on here. But I bet Steph Diggs, and it would be one of those things where you're like, the defense is going to be going crazy for Gonzalez. The offense is going to be going crazy for Diggs.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get that a few times, at least throughout camp.
Who was it at Hobart? Keith versus?
It was not Keith versus anybody, sadly. It was Keith versus, like, let me try to find the fourth corner over there so I can match up with him, get a chance.
Okay, so I think Diggs looked good out of breaks.
Yep.
I'll tell you, I looked it up. I'm like, who's 18? Because that looked like a rounded off route. That's Kyle Williams. So, you know,
okay.
The old Jones Hawkeye didn't love the way that Williams cut.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give Andy Hart credit, and I seldom do, nor should I.
Okay.
But a few years ago at camp, it was early. It was like 1, 2, 3, or 4. Right, like Nikhil Harry bust.
Really?
He like sniffed it out immediately.
18's coming up, I think, after Bourne. So you tell me if it looks rounded off. I thought the last one looked, oh no, this is Baker. But
that
you
was
tell
Baker,
me
the touchdown maker.
If it looks rounded off. But
he sniffed out N'Keal Harry.
Right away.
I think others were kind of on to Tyquan Thornton. So, like, you're like, it's just helmet and shoulder pads, and they're not even going up against defense. Like, I don't know. Sometimes.
I know. That looked tight.
Sometimes you can kind of tell. Yeah. That was crisp.
That looked tight. That was real crisp. Maybe he's better going to his left. He's like a Zoolander. He's good. He's good going left.
But that's not his tight thing. I don't need Kyle Williams doing a lot of five-yard outs. I'm going to need Kyle Williams kind of going deep down the field. So if he could do this, fine. That's probably going to be toward, you know, not his best thing.
So we're keeping our eyes on the receivers. We did get one more update here on, a pseudo absence, or I guess technically in attendance, is Mac Hollins. He's here. He was out here in a jersey. He walked off the field, I guess. The big report from Mike Kadlec.
Yeah.
No shoes on Mac Hollins.
Well, I mean, that's kind of standard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mac Hollins, the shoeless wonder. He never wore shoes. Although they force him to in the NFL. I feel like somebody should pay his fines, because I think it would be an equipment fine. You got to, like, tuck your shirt in and you get to wear spikes. I say let him be himself, and the team should pay for the fine.
Nice.
I'd like to see him foot
the bill. No pun intended, Robert.
Jones, that's why you're the best.
But foot that bill.
But there used to be shoeless kickers. Those guys could shoe it.
It's a good point.
Without a shoe. We have not seen a shoeless wide receiver, but I think we should.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. So we'll keep our eyes on that. As Billy said, I guess the news would be,
yeah,
if he actually were wearing shoes, that would actually
be. You know who wears shoes, item. Jones?
Who's that?
Terry McLaurin. Famously wears shoes.
McLaurin, yeah, I mean, I guess the way the Commanders are paying him, maybe can't afford a new set.
That's true.
The Commanders officially placed him this morning on the reserve did not report list. You heard Adam Peters, the GM, in Washington there when we were coming back out of the break. I still think they're going to get a deal done and pay him, but there was the report the other day from Henry McKenna at Fox Sports. He's ready for anything. Hold out, hold in, which I think we're seeing with Micah Parsons. You see any of that yesterday?
Oh, my God.
He showed up and he's like, yeah, my back hurts. He's so like, good. Squats, heavy squats. So
oh, that's great.
So I don't know.
Now Jerry Jones left a response.
I didn't know if we were going to get a hold out, a hold in. Looks like McLaurin's going to go the hold out route, which could lead to an eventual trade. I haven't really thought it's in play, but every day that progresses and he's not there, it's more and more likely.
100%. It feels unlikely. However, every day that he doesn't have the contract, there's a chance. And then on top of it, that he's not even there. We'll see how ugly this could potentially get. I don't know why they're digging their heels in on this one. It seems like the Commanders, what I'm saying. Like, for them, it seems like an absolute no-brainer.
I say this rarely. Doesn't McLaurin have all the leverage?
Yeah.
I don't think the team has hardly any leverage. They need him on the field. But they're like a Super Bowl contender.
However,
year two with Jaden Daniels. Like, they need him out there.
But also, every single team has the advantage of they don't need the $20 million or whatever that he's making. He probably needs the $20 million, right? Like, so I think, to me, how many times have guys really gone all the way through with it? I think they have the whole history of holdouts on their side. You know, for every Le'Veon Bell, there's like a million guys that are just either bail or they come back or they at the very least agree to some sort of contract that might be, you know, not every last dollar that they could get. But I just feel like he's everything you read about McLaurin. He's like the perfect player.
So agreed. He's
perfect like, person, that, perfect player.
And that was like, coming out in college. That was like his thing in college.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what? He's a third rounder. Who knows what over
he'll
be?
Like
but team leader,
professional,
captain, all this stuff, right?
And you saw how good he was with your at the time rookie quarterback, and now you're like, ah, we're fine. Like, if you took McLaurin off of that offense, like, I do not think he'd be fine.
So, to answer my own question, I'd say the dream is technically still alive for a trade. I would not wager on the Patriots being that team. If there were a trade, you got to give up draft capital and pay him. Again, they have the most cap space in the league.
Would you give up a first-round pick for him? Because I think everybody would give up a second,
I'm going to say you probably wouldn't have to.
Yeah. No, I know. I agree. I think you probably could get it done for a second.
Would I? Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know?
If you're betting on yourself, meaning like you add McLaurin, how good could the team be?
You know what? I don't know about that. He's good.
He's 30, though, right?
And he'd be their best receiver. But is he a game changer, or would he just be their best receiver? I don't know that I give up a first, actually, now that we talk through it.
I think he's right on that line. I don't know if he's in my top 10, although I have like 20 receivers in my top 10.
Yeah, it's a crowded top
10. So actually, he might be. No, but if I had to really rank him, he's a top 15 receiver. He's a number one on most teams.
Okay. Maybe I got to sit down and do the official Jones wide receiver rankings.
Actually, it is a worthwhile exercise.
Tiers next week.
Tier wideouts?
Yeah, tier wideouts.
Power rank wideouts. On a power ranking Monday.
Yeah, I guess you'd need to power rank them as well.
Yeah, tier
wouldn't really
help.
Do much. Yeah, no.
You're right. We did that with quarterbacks.
We got to rank them. We got to rank
them. Use the 10th or the 20th best. It depends on how you read the tiers.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. So you can discuss Terry McLaurin, his availability. How likely is it? Dream is alive. I think for somebody to trade for him, are the Patriots that team? Do they need him? What would you give up? 617-779-7937. Jones and Keefe, we got eyes on everything here at Gillette Stadium. Patriots training camp day one in Foxborough. We got plenty of Pats talk on the show. We got Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday coming up a little over a half an hour from now at 11:30. But coming up next, we put them off for long enough. It's Red Sox time.
Oh, no.
What is wrong with your baseball team? We'll get to it next.